Well, today is the 1st of July. So what do you think? Is the year 2015 a glass half full or is it a glass half empty? Well, maybe you know that question. Some people think the glass is always half full. Other people think it's half empty. It's one of those psychology theories, if you will. And of course, it depends on your own view. Now, what would you say? Is your glass half full? Or is it half empty? This is Inside Out Pusan on Wednesday, July 1st, and I'm your host, Tim. Well, that was a happy song, I will certainly say that. Very nice. Up top, I was talking about, oh, by the way, I guess I should probably tell you what song you just got through listening to. That would be a good idea. That was Happy, Who Would Have Known by Pharrell Williams. 621 right now, you're listening to 90.5 and 103.3. Up top, I was talking about that question that's been around for a long time. Someone has probably presented it to you at some point or another as well. You know, do you think the glass is half full or do you think it's half empty? In other words, are you an optimist or are you kind of a pessimist? That's what they're really getting at when they ask you that question. Well, you know, times are really tough and a lot of people, I'm sure people that you know are really struggling to stay optimistic given the state of the economy, really bad job insecurity. And that's if you're lucky enough to even have a job. People have other expenses, their mortgages and car payments and insurance, and it just, the list goes on forever. Well, you know what? You might be a person who's having a tough time, or maybe you know some other people, but you know, just because you find lots of reasons for feeling down and maybe becoming a pessimist doesn't mean that you should. Now, the fact is that optimism can create opportunity and pessimism does nothing but kill it. A little research here, a little science for you. Research has found that seeing the glass half full not only makes you a lot happier, but it can make you healthier and wealthier as well. A study was done by a psychologist, Susan Sergenstrom, and she found that 10 years after graduation, law students who were optimistic actually earned an average of $32,667 more than their glass half-empty peers. And there's a reason for that. Expecting good things to happen generally leads to taking actions that will produce positive results. Now, expecting only more bad stuff to come your way will keep you from doing the very things that might have minimized or avoided just that. The word itself, optimism, comes from Latin, the Latin word optima, which means the best outcome or belief in the greatest good. And of course, we know some people are a lot more optimistic than other people. But at the end of the day, you know, we all wake up and we've got to choose whether we're going to be a glass half full or a glass half empty person. The question for you, which one are you going to choose?
No. Wasn't it this week that it ended?
No.
I gotta do one more week of this. I mean, wonderful.
Hello, how can I help you?
I'll take two lattes, please.
All right, anything else?
What's this playing on the radio? It sounds very interesting.
Oh, it's Inside Out Busan on BFM. It's my favorite evening show. Do you like it too?
Really interesting. It might even be my new favorite show. Anyway, how you doing?
Listen, play, love. Come and enjoy your evenings with Tim at Inside Out Pusan.
Everybody, welcome back to our Mixed Bag segment. It is Wednesday night, and Tegan has joined me here in the studio once again to tell you about a really cool event that she has covered. Hi, Tegan.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And hi, listeners, how are you? I'm sure they're all saying,
They're all saying, I'm fine, Tegan. Yeah. Thank you so much for asking.
And I just want to let all of you know, my birthday is Saturday, by the way.
Really?
Yes, yes. Do you hear the claps?
I learned an interesting expression today in Korean about that. Mm-hmm. That's your 귀가 빠진날.
귀가. Yeah, my 귀가, ear?
귀가 빠진날 means the day your ears popped out.
Okay, the day my ears came. Yes. All right. Well, I just wanted to let all of you listeners know you're invited to my birthday party. If anyone wants to come and check it out, it's another event. It's going to be going on this Saturday night in Gyeongsang University. There is a drag prom event. I'm going to be there in a pink wig looking good.
You're always looking good.
Yes, so thank you.
But a drag event, that sounds like it's going to be very cool.
Yes, so if you don't know what that means, listeners, it means girls dress like boys, boys dress like girls, or wear something wacky and fun and come to the Gyeongsang University area.
Sounds like a good time.
But to get back to the topic, tonight I'm talking about a surfing competition that was going on this past weekend in Haeundae.
Right.
So it was a pretty cool event. Usually people don't think of Haeundae as the surfing spot. Usually they think of Songjong.
Songjongdae.
Yeah. So this is actually in Haeundae. This was the 7th annual event. And it was a really, really cool surfing event. But, you know, I got to interview with one of the workers. So let's take a listen. All right, today is a beautiful day in Haeundae, and today I came to the surfing competition. I'm here with someone that works there. Let's get to know them. Hi, what's your name?
Hey, 안녕하세요. 저는 대한 서핑협회 홍보 이사를 맡고 있는 설성문입니다.
Okay, nice to meet you. Can you tell us a little bit about the event?
This is the 7th Busan Myers International Surfing Championship.
Wow, very cool. So, the 7th event going on. What day did it start on?
It started on Friday till Sunday.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the event. How many categories are there and what will we be able to watch out here?
Yeah, categories like 10s, beginner, start to beginner till open and special and international also. So,
oh, okay. And so are we seeing people of all ages out there on the water?
Yes.
Okay. What is the youngest competitor?
Youngest, the kids.
Kids in division as well?
Yes, yes, right.
Like 5 years old, 6 years old?
Until 10 years old.
Okay. And so the event is wrapping up today. What do you think? Has it been successful? Has there been good water? How has it been so far?
Yeah. Very successful. The Busan City supporting a lot of the event and a lot of some fund also. So next year will be more bigger than this.
All right. Is there a website we can check out if people want to join?
Yes. Daehan Surfing Hyeopae.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to go check it out. It looks like it's going really well. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Very interesting. Sounds like a nice guy. Apparently, he is maybe the head or a member of the Daehan Surfing Hyeopae.
Yep.
So if you're into surfing, everybody, you might want to check that out one more time. Let me spell it out for you. Mm-hmm. Daehan Surfing Hyeopae.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like a good organization if you're like one of those surfer dudes
or surfer girls
or chicks.
Surfer babes.
I was going to say surfer gal, but I think babe or chick is better.
Yeah. So if you missed it this year, let me just give you a little rundown of what he went over. The event was actually the 7th annual surfing competition, and there was 50,000 people that came to the event. Can you believe that?
Are you kidding?
No, it was...
50,000 people came to the event?
Well, it was a three-day event starting on Friday all the way till Sunday, and I went there on Sunday in the afternoon, and I got to check it out. So I got to meet a lot of cool surfers. It was, as you heard, it's an international event. So there are surfers from America, Japan, Australia, all over the place. And actually, let's take a listen as I talk to one of the male stand-up competitors who won his bracket. So let's take a listen.
Cool.
All right, so I'm talking to someone who actually is a winner in this surfing competition. Let's get to know him. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Melvin.
All right, Melvin. So tell me, what did you compete in?
So I did the stand-up paddleboard race for the men's international division.
All right, and you got first place.
In first place, yes. So very excited. It's very nice.
So tell me, how was the competition today?
Competition was good. I mean, the distance was a good distance, not too difficult. We had
everybody... What was the distance? Do you know the exact distance?
I don't know. I guess we had to go out to a buoy. It was probably there and back. I would probably say about 500 meters or so.
Okay. Does that take approximately?
Depending how fast of a paddler, I guess anywhere from less than 5 minutes to over 5 minutes, I guess.
All right. Okay, pretty cool. So do you live here in Busan?
No, I live up on the east coast in Gangnam, in Gangwon-do.
Okay. Yeah. So up in Gangwon-do, the major surf spots are like Yangyang, is that right?
Yep, Yangyang would be like, I guess, the Mecca. There's, I don't know, seems like there's like 20 surf shops up there nowadays.
Now there's a lot.
Yeah, and it just keeps on getting busier and busier.
Busier and busier. So how did you get into stand-up paddleboard?
Well, the waves aren't very consistent in Korea. So in order to get more water time, I just started stand-up paddling because it's good for exercise and you can surf when there's waves, and when there's no waves, you just paddle.
Sounds good. Well, congratulations. So what was your prize for getting first place?
Apparently it's like $500,000.
Whoa, okay.
Kind of pays for the trip.
Pays for the trip. You got a good vacation in here.
Yeah, I got a weekend with my son who's playing up in the sand somewhere. So it's, yeah.
Awesome.
Nice time.
Well, thank you so much for your interview and congratulations.
Great. Thank you very much.
Man, that was like a major score for Melvin, 500,000 won for first place. Did you see that? I got to tell you right now, Tegan, I'm not familiar with stand-up paddleboard.
Okay. What,
how do they go about that?
Well, you might also hear people call it SUP or S-U-P. Like, it's spelled stand-up paddleboard, so they break it down like that. And basically, it's similar to a surfboard in terms of the shape. And you stand on it, and with a paddle, you paddle along. So it's really popular these days. People are really picking it up. And you can do it at Gwangalli Beach, I know. So if you want to check it out, I think it's about $30,000 to rent the board, and you get a wetsuit.
Okay.
And you can be out there on the water for a couple hours.
It sounds like it would be a total workout. I mean, you're working your upper body,
right?
And then because you've got to balance probably core and your leg, it sounds like a total body workout.
Yeah, and I think some people kind of do it as to relax and just to get out in the water, but you heard this was a competition, so they raced to the
Racing, paddling madly away to the buoy and back.
But, you know, that was one of the events that was held in the surfing competition, but we also had actual surfing, and I got to talk to an Australian surfer who was about to go into his final round of the competition, so let's take a listen. Hi, what's your name?
My name's Sean Mawson, and I'm from Sydney in Australia.
I was going to say, you sound Australian.
Yeah.
All right, so how long have you been surfing?
I've been surfing since I was five, so 16 years.
16 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about the competition that you're competing in today. Is there a special, like, division that you're in?
Yeah. I'm just in the general surfing division, and, yeah, so... I think there's lots of different divisions, like paddleboarding and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a wide variety of things going on here.
All right, so today the open division for men is coming up. And is there any, like, different things? Like, for example, did you have to go through a preliminary round, or is it just going to be one competition going on soon?
Well, we had the semifinals before, and, yeah, now we're just in the final, and that's the final heat. So, yeah.
So the final heat coming up. So how were the preliminary rounds or the semifinals?
Very hard and very small.
Okay. Yeah. What do you mean by very small?
The surf conditions are tiny today. So, it's a big change for me because at home, we always get lots of waves.
Massive waves, right?
Yeah. It's always consistently large, and this is beyond anything I've ever surfed, I think. But it's fun. I'm having a good time.
So what do you do if there's tiny waves? How can you perform well? Is there certain tricks you can do, or just look really cool on the board?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you could kind of try and do some airs, but that's a big ask in waves this small. So
okay.
Yeah, try and, I don't know, just try and do your best.
Have you ever surfed in Busan before?
I haven't, no. I came over on Tuesday, and I'm staying till next Tuesday, and this is the first time I've ever been here, and I haven't surfed here before, and I haven't heard about it much, but there is a couple of fun waves around, kind of.
All right, well, thank you for coming, and are you nervous for this final coming up, the last heat? Are you excited? Are you nervous? How do you feel?
I'm pretty excited, yeah. I'm just taking it pretty cruisy, just trying to have a lot of fun.
Well, great. Well, I'm glad you're here, and I wish you best of luck. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Sean's a really nice guy. I actually had the chance to interview him and CJ Nelson, the two from Team Rider, and very laid back. Funny, when you asked Sean, where are you from, it sounded for a second like he was hesitating. He goes, I'm from Sydney. He is, funny guy. I tell you, he is so laid back. The dude is like moving. He's moving into the past, yes. I think, instead of like progressing into the future. But a really, really nice young guy.
Did you hear his vocabulary that he uses? I think this might be interesting. He says the word cruisy.
Cruisy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught that.
Like cruisy, I don't know if anyone even knows what this means. I think it means like laid back, chilling out. Like, how are you today, Tim? Oh, I'm cruisy.
I'm cruisy. He used a couple more of those Z words during our interview, and I was like, I was having a hard time picking
it. It's kind of like his own
satiri. It's an Australian surfer's satiri, apparently.
Yeah. Well, we had some other competitors that were not just men in this event. There was a lot of women there, and you heard earlier there was even children as young as 10.
Right.
But I got to talk to a woman who's actually a Busan. She lives in Busan now, and she plays second in the stand-up paddleboard. So let's take a listen. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Cheryl Kim.
So you're competing, or you competed in this event today?
Yeah, all done. I was in the International Women's Division for stand-up paddleboard.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me, how was it? How was the water and the conditions?
The water is cold. And earlier today, it was really cloudy and windy, mm-hmm. and it was a bit tough, especially on inflatable sups.
Right.
So it was actually a really tough race.
Okay, so you came in second place, is that right?
I did, yeah.
How do you feel about your performance?
Oh, I just had fun.
You just have fun.
Even if I didn't come in at all, mm-hmm. it's just fun.
You know what? When I interviewed the two guys, they made a really good point. I asked them about surfing the really big waves and the small waves, and they said pretty much the same thing that this woman said. Mm-hmm. They mentioned the fun factor. They said, you know, that is the most important thing about surfing. It's not like conquering the huge waves.
Right.
It's about getting out there with people you like, you enjoy being with, and just having fun on the, on the water, on the beach, enjoying yourself. That's the main point.
Be cruisy. And I
dude,
forgot to mention
chick.
This. So I got there, I got to interview Sean, and then about 30 minutes later was his final event.
All right.
So the big event went down, and there was four surfers out on the water. Sean was in white. They all have a different colored shirt, and that's how they're identified. And the waves were just, they only get 15 minutes on the water.
Right.
So they get 15 minutes, and then their top three moves get rated.
Okay.
And Sean, at first he started off a little bit slow. He wasn't getting any waves, and I was wondering what he's doing.
Right.
But then he just did some, like, amazing tricks. He did a 360.
Uh-huh.
Like, the board went completely in a circle.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was riding a wave, and then he spun the board around. I don't know how he did that.
Uh-huh.
And he managed to pull the win. So congratulations to Sean.
Wow, Sean.
Yeah.
Good on you, dude.
Yeah, it's the third year the Australian male competitors won. But, you know, there was also a lot of spectators at the event.
Mm-hmm.
And we just heard Cheryl talk about how she got second place and she had fun. But her daughter was there watching her. So let's take a listen to what her daughter had to say. All right. Today I'm here with one of the spectators at the event. She's a very beautiful lady. Hi. What's your name?
Kylan Kat.
Wow. How old are you?
4.
4 years old. Do you like the surfing competition?
Yes.
Yes? All right. Did you see your mommy in the competition?
Yes.
How did your mommy do?
Kylan 1, 2, 3.
She did what? How was your mommy?
Good.
Very good?
I like surfing.
I love surfing.
I like the competition.
Wow. Thank you so much for your interview and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've interviewed her and mm-hmm. her husband
right,
a
right.
long time ago. I have not seen her child. She was here the other night, apparently, but cute as a button, apparently, in her voice, too. What a cute kid. Very cute
kid.
Well,
you know what? She's her daughter. I think her name is Kai. I want to say,
uh-huh.
I think that's Cheryl's daughter's name. She is going to be one of the top women surfers someday, I think. She's already out there. She skateboards. She surfs. And she's already won the heart of everyone at the competition.
Oh,
she's
really?
Very popular.
Very popular.
So I'm sure if you go there next year and you see an adorable little girl, that is Cheryl's daughter. So
got it.
Anyways, it was a great covering this event, and I hope everyone enjoyed. So I'll have to be back with another event next week. And I want to say, we had a message from Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Amy said, hi, how are you? Congratulations on your birthday, Tegan. What good things do you eat on your birthday? You know what, Amy? I think the best thing you can eat on your birthday is a nice strong drink, you know, like a, something like that. I think, you know, forget the cake and just enjoy.
Forget chewing.
Yeah, forget chewing.
Forget chewing, go directly to the drinks.
Yeah, have a nice drink and enjoy time.
All right, Tegan, thank you very much.
All right, see you next week.
Good stuff. All right, that was Everybody's Gone Surfing, except me. When I was interviewing C.J. Nelson and Sean Maurer the other night from Australia. C.J. is from California. Very cool dude as well. Very nice. Both of them had a great interview, apparently. Sean did very well at the contest, copying the first place there. I mentioned the fact that when I lived in Southern California, because I did for about 8 years, I had a friend named Nate, who is a native Southern California. And he actually offered to take me to Huntington Beach to go surfing, big surfing spot there. And I really regret not having taken the chance to do so, because I think it would have been a lot of fun. They say it's amazing. Being out on a surfboard and riding that wave is one of those real experiences in life where you feel one with nature, I guess I'll put it that way. So very cool sport. Who knows? Maybe at some point on my 80th birthday, I think I'll give it a shot. All right. It is time to do the quiz. Well, it is no secret that this structure, and it's a big one, believe me, has been getting smaller ever since it was constructed way back in the 14th century. That was in the 1300s. Several sections are crumbling now, but apparently this man-made wonder is becoming all but obliterated because the Chinese government has done some studies in recent years, and they say that there is rampant destruction of this going on. Figures from China's State Administration of Cultural Heritage show that about 1,961 kilometers, that is about 30% of this structure, has disappeared. Wow. Well, another 1,185 kilometers of the fortification are in very poor condition, obviously need some reparation or repair work, and mostly due to human activities like people in the area stealing bricks from it because they wanted to rebuild their houses. Although regulations and laws against defacing the structure were passed in 2006 with fines of up to close to $1,000 for stealing bricks, a local provincial official say that the rules are pretty hard to enforce, so people keep busting the structure down. What am I talking about? That is the question. Let me give you a really big hint. This is supposedly the only man-made structure that can be seen from the moon. That's right. So if you were an astronaut and you were standing on the moon and looking back at Earth, apparently you can see this structure. Pretty amazing stuff. What am I talking about? Number one is Mali Jiangsung. That's the Great Wall of China. Number two is Jiayue Yoshinshan. What did I say? Goodness gracious, I take that back. I'm going to get sued. That was Jiayue Yoshinshan, the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor, in case you're wondering. You can send your answers to Sharp9050, the Sharp Gugong Ogong, if you'd like to. Hey, give us a call tonight. We love talking on the telephone. I'm always, like, you know, barking into the microphone here. I like to pick up the phone sometime and talk as well. Our number is 663-0063. You can also get in touch with the Cow Cow Talk application. Moo! Just run a search for BEFM and send some messages along. We're waiting to hear from you. All right, we have got Searchlight. That's coming right up. Hey, once again, time for Searchlight. Local time right now is 6:46, and the first search, the hottest search of the evening, once again, Mersa. Well, no additional infections of MERS have been reported in South Korea. That's for a fourth consecutive day. The government's MERS response headquarters on Wednesday also reported no new deaths among infected patients. The death toll during the current outbreak remains at 33. Of the 182 confirmed cases since the epidemic began on May 20th, 97 people have made a complete recovery, while 52 are still undergoing treatment. At number two tonight, Sobija Mulka. Korea's consumer prices grew less than 1% for a seventh straight month in June, adding to concerns about deflation. A report by Statistics Korea today said the consumer price index rose 0.7% last month from the previous year. The agency attributed the low growth to weak international crude oil prices and the lowering of utility prices like the gas, water, and electricity. It's also the sixth month the index has fallen into that range since the agency started collecting data in 1995. Up next, Copa America. Argentina remains on course to win their first Copa America title since 1993 after thrashing Paraguay to set up a final against tournament host Chile. Marcos Rojo put Argentina ahead from Lionel Messi's free kick, and Javier Pastore made it 2-0 with a low shot. It was an impressive victory from Gerardo Martino's side as La Albiceleste moved into the Copa America final for the third time in four competitions and will play Chile in Santiago on the 4th of July. Well, we've got some news from Hollywood. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner are divorcing after 10 years of marriage. The Oscar winner and his wife sent out a joint statement on Tuesday after weeks of public speculation on the status of their marriage. After much thought and careful consideration, we have made the final difficult decision to divorce. We go forward with love and friendship for one another and a commitment to co-parenting our children, whose privacy we ask to be respected during this difficult time, the couple said. And at number five tonight, Big Bang. Well, Big Bang are at it again as their latest music video for Sober has already surpassed the 2 million view count milestone. This comes within a day after its release. It's a beautifully shot MV with deep lyrics fitting Big Bang's concept. It had already surpassed the 1 million view mark within 8 hours of the release. A huge congratulations to Big Bang. Okay, we're getting ready to wrap up the show for the top half here. We are going to be back, part number two, with some very, very interesting stuff, I guarantee. We hope that you'll stick around for that. We got a message that was sent to us on Kakao Talk. He said, hello, my name is Dean, or Young Soo Jung. I'm now a sophomore at PNU. Now, the reason why I sent this message is that I do want to work as an intern or freelancer like a newscaster at BEFM, and I'm really into meeting people from all over the world and communicating with them. I've never been abroad in my life. Well, Dean, thank you very much. That is a very nice message. And if you're interested in coming and checking out the studio on the station, we would certainly love for you to do so. Now, you can send us your resume and a brief introduction. Make sure to get your pen out right now or be ready to tap. I'm going to give you an email. All right. Ready on three. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. GU@BEFM.OR.KR. Once again, that is JIYOO. 다시 한번 JIYOO. 골뱅이 BEFM.OR.KR. We would love to hear from you. Thank you very much for that message. All right, folks, like I said, we've got lots of fun stuff coming up. An interview with a French professor at Busan National University who's been in Korea for 20 years. It's going to be very interesting. We hope you'll stick around for that. All right, last song for part number one, If You by Big Bang.
In a world where laughter was king.
Is Tim here?
One man.
But you're so old.
Ladies and gentlemen, now the moment you've all been waiting for.
Live from Centum City, this is Inside Out Busan with Tim Chatelier.
You know what I am? Ugly all day.
Woo! Afternoon delight.
Whoop. You guys have it, I think.
We have great music. Interesting stories.
But I think that's great stuff.
When you're driving home, no matter the traffic, you'll have a great evening with Inside Out Busan.
Hi, this is Tegan, and I'm bringing you Life on Hold, finding out about people's work life. Today I'm with a special guest who has an interesting job. Let's get to know her. Hi, what's your name?
My name's Cheryl Kim.
Hi, Cheryl, and tell me, what is your job?
My job is actually vice president of import and distribution, and also I run a surf shop, and I'm one of the instructors there.
Wow, so you're kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah, I do it all.
I want to know about the surf shop. How did you get into surfing, and how did you get into owning your own surf shop?
Well, when I was 18, I started surfing in Australia when I was living there for a while. Mm-hmm. And as for owning a surf shop, well, my husband's Korean, and he was a marine mechanic when I met him, and just fell in love with surfing when we got together, and just one day decided to open up a surf shop.
It's very interesting. Okay, so tell me, what is the great thing about your job? Why do you love it?
I get to work at the beach every day. I get to be in the water. It's great exercise, and I get to meet different people all the time. And it always changes because the condition of the waves and conditions of the water change. Mm-hmm. So no day is exactly the same as another.
Okay, so it's a really great job for getting out in nature, staying fit, meeting people. Now, every job has its ups and downs. Have you ever had any difficulties or any like funny times, any strange customers or something weird happen?
Well, actually, this past January, mm-hmm. I had a group from Pusan Weide come out, and it was six of their students. Mm-hmm. Really, really cold.
Oh, no.
Because it's January, and they were out for a stand-up paddleboard.
Okay.
And I took them to the bridge.
All the way to the bridge?
All the way to the bridge. And then the wave conditions and currents changed very suddenly.
Oh, my gosh.
And it became very hard for them to paddle back.
Okay.
And I don't know how it happened. One board kind of hit another one, and one of the smallest girls fell in the water.
Oh, no.
And she was absolutely freezing.
Okay.
So we had to do, like, a rescue for SUP.
Okay.
And to do that, we have to put their SUP board on ours, attach it and tow it.
So basically attach one board to another.
Right. And it's a 10-foot board, really heavy.
Not easy.
Not easy. And then I had to put her on the front of my board.
Oh, my goodness.
And she is just shivering and shaking and slightly hypothermic.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm just paddling like a mad woman to try to get back into the beach. And that was the craziest thing that's ever happened
to
me. But
everyone survived.
Yeah. I barely survived, but I'm okay. I'm all right.
All right. So what time, like these days, it's getting warm. It's June, almost July. What would you recommend for people if they want to try something now? Would you say surfing?
Both.
Both are.
Both. Okay. If the waves are up, then it's a great time to go out and try surfing. If there are no waves and it's flat, fantastic time to try stand-up paddle. But even if you're going to try to learn surfing and the waves aren't very big, it's a fantastic time because if you can't paddle a board, you can't surf. So it's really good to get the paddle down and how to move the board around in the water.
All right. Well, I guess I'll have to come and check that out soon. And it was a pleasure meeting you. And thanks for sharing about your job.
Yeah, nice to meet you, too. Thanks.
I also have had the pleasure of meeting with Cheryl Kim a number of times. Really nice person, nice husband as well, beautiful little daughter whose voice you heard not too long ago. Very cute child. Well, Cheryl's very busy. She's the vice president of import and distribution, runs her surf shop. She apparently got started in surfing in Australia when she was 18 years old. She came to Korea eventually and met her husband, at the time a marine mechanic, and they they leaped into the sport together. She says she loves her job. Every day is different because the conditions, obviously, weather conditions and wave conditions, so forth, different. Biggest adventure, rescue mission. My goodness, six students from Pusan Way Day apparently got together with Cheryl to learn SUP, or stand-up paddling, back in January when one of the girls fell into the water. Thank goodness the rescue operation was safe. And I hope that Cheryl, her husband, and her cute-as-a-button daughter continue having a great life here in Pusan, and success in her business as well. All right, we're going to play a tune for you right now. This is The Sound of Sunshine. It's by Michael Franny and Spearhead. Welcome back to the show, 7:09 right now. Once again, you're listening to 90.5 and 103.3 in Gijang, Jungwan, and the Anoksan area. I'm going to be very brief on the quiz. We're talking about a fabulously interesting, amazing structure that was built in mainland China many, many years ago. In fact, way back in the 1300s, it is thousands of miles long, and basically it was built to keep out the invaders. What am I talking about? Two choices here. Number one is Mali Jiangsong, that is the Great Wall of China. Number two is Jiayue Yushinsong, or the Statue of Liberty. If you'd like to take a shot, send along your answers to sharp 9050. That's sharp Gugong Ogong. Please don't forget, once again, it will cost you 100 won per text message. If you'd like to hook up with us on Kakao Talk, just want to search BEFM. And don't forget, we've got some meal vouchers from Tam Na Guinmung in Marine City, as well as some vouchers from Habanero in Nampodong. A couple messages have come in. Ronnie, welcome back to the show. Thank you very much for being with us again this evening. She said, 정답 일본 항상 자신 없지만 뻔뻔함을 승부를 걸겠어요. 덥지만 오늘도 화이팑. It was, man, really hot and sticky out there today, Ronnie. I have to admit, once again, I was like a melting piece of ice or something walking down the road there. I'm going to get myself an ice jokey. 얼음 조끼 한번 입어보셨어요? They keep you really cool. They do. You like put big blocks of ice in these pockets. You look pretty weird, I have to admit, this big funky vest. But man, 되게 시원합니다, 진짜. So if you're like really hot, get yourself an ice vest. That should take care of the problem. By the way, I'd like to pose the question, anybody out there, have you ever been to the Mali Jiangsong? I would love to hear about that, what your impressions were of the structure. We got one message from 3332 Nim, who said, the Great Wall, Mali Jiangsong, amazing architect built by man. I've actually been there. The scale of it just takes your breath away. I can totally believe that. I've heard that, man, you know, when you make visual contact with this monstrous structure, it really just take your breath away. All right, 3332 Nim, thanks so much for being with us this evening. Everybody, if you have been wondering, once again, about what's happening news-wise, Jenny is going to take care of that. She's with me in the studio right now. Hello, Jenny.
Hello, Tim.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy.
Didn't I? Yeah. Okay, let me change the greeting tonight. I'm going to go from howdy, howdy to Jenny, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
That is great to hear. Thank you very much. Okay, nice to have you back with us again. So what's been going on out there?
Starting off with the national headlines today, prosecutors in South Korea are set to announce the current standing of their investigation into the Song Wanjong scandal on Thursday. The prosecutors today revealed that its plans for an interim briefing after investigating politicians suspected to have received money from the late businessman. Among the eight heavyweight politicians whose name appeared on the memo found with Song's body in April, former Prime Minister Lee Won-gu and South Gyeongsang Province of Hong Jun-pyo are expected to face graft charges without detention. Sources also said the remaining six pro-Park Geun-hye politicians are not expected to be indicted. Investigators are said to have found no evidence to prove allegations that the former head of Gyeongnam Enterprises Hong Wan-jung offered illegal political funds around the 2012 presidential election. Prosecutors also believe Song did not offer money to influential politicians to gain a special pardon at the end of 2007. regarding suspicions of another presidential special pardon Song received in 2005. The prosecution is mulling indicting Dogon Pyeong, the elder brother of the late President Noh Moo-hyun. Investigators found clues that a constructor owned by an aide to the elder Noh had received a large amount of money from Song's company.
And Jenny, I understand that a kind of ecological emergency has, well, if you will, broken out on the Han River.
Right. Seoul City has issued its first algae alert on the Han River. The city government said on Tuesday that it issued the alert for the section between Jamsil Bridge and Haengju Bridge after conducting tests on Monday following the observation of green tide in five locations on the lower reaches of the Han River. It is the first time the city issued the algae bloom alert on the river since the algae advisory system was introduced in 2000. The city believes that the green algae blooms are spreading due to stagnant water flow as the amount of water discharged from the Paldang Dam in Gyeonggi Province this month reached about 56% the level of the same period last year. Mm-hmm. The city said that the analysis results, including the toxicity of Microcystis, the blue-green microorganism detected from Monday's tests, will be released on Friday. With the latest alert, Seoul plans to set up and operate an algae task force to monitor algae blooms.
All right, Jenny, what have we got next?
Next, the government has announced its plans to slash greenhouse gas emissions for 2030 by 37% of the observed business-as-usual or BAU level. At a cabinet meeting on Tuesday, the government finalized its intended nationally determined contribution or INDC target, aiming to reduce CO2 emissions by 314 million tons from some 850.6 million tons expected in the year 2030. The 2030 emission allowance set at 536 million tons came as the government decided to be more ambitious than four of its initial target options, ranging between 14.7% and 31.3%. The government explained that it will pursue one of the previously announced options of cutting emissions by 25.7%. Additional 11.3 percentage points will be reduced by providing financial assistance for greenhouse gas reduction in developing countries and by purchasing carbon credits. The 2030 reduction target meets the international community's practice of reducing emissions every year.
Jenny, I've heard that this huge merger between Samsung CT Corporation and the group is going to be happening even though it's been opposed by an American firm.
Right. A Seoul court turned down a request today by a U.S. hedge fund to block a proposed merger of two Samsung Group units. Samsung CNT Corporation, the construction and trading arm of Samsung Group, is facing opposition from Elliott Associates LP over an 8.9 trillion won takeover offer by Tayet Industries Incorporated, the group's de facto holding firm. Elliott has claimed the merger plan undermines CNT shareholders' interests as it is based on unfair terms. It is the third largest shareholder of the builder with a 7.12% stake. The Seoul Central District Court said the merger ratio, one of the key contentious issues raised by Elliott, cannot be seen as unjust as it was set in compliance with current law, which requires the ratio to be calculated based on current share prices. It said in a statement, a company's value is not fixed and so is its share price, as it is generally considered hard to predict.
Now, what is happening on the international news front this evening?
The Indonesian plane crash seems to be worse, actually. Indonesian officials have said that 141 bodies have been recovered after a military transport plane crashed in a residential area of Medan on Tuesday. The military says none of the 122 people on board the Hercules C-130 survived when it hit houses and a hotel before bursting into flames. Many of the victims are thought to have been relatives of servicemen and women. But the late latest death toll indicates that there were at least 19 people killed on the ground. News media says the military has repeatedly revised a passenger list, a sign of how loosely the military keeps track of who gets on its planes. It is also investigating whether some of those on board were paying passengers, which is not permitted.
And Jenny, I see that you've got a follow-up on the economic crisis mm-hmm. that has been unfolding in Greece mm-hmm. for quite some time now.
Right. Greece has missed the deadline for a 1.5 billion euro payment to the International Monetary Fund, or IMF, hours after Eurozone ministers refused to extend its bailout. But the ministers say they will discuss a last-minute request from Greece for a new two-year bailout today. Greece is the first European Union country to fail to repay a loan to the IMF and is now formally in arrears. There are fears that this could put Greece at risk of leaving the euro. The IMF confirmed that Greece had failed to make the payment shortly after 10 p.m. GMT on Tuesday. IMF spokesman Jerry Rice said, quote, "We have informed our executive board that Greece is now in arrears and can only receive IMF financing once the arrears are cleared."
I also understand, Jenny, that the relationship between Washington and Havana is continuing to warm up.
Yes, and getting much better. The U.S. and Cuba will today announce the opening of embassies in each other's capitals, which is a major step in re-establishing diplomatic ties severed in 1961, according to a senior U.S. official. Relations had been frozen since the early 1960s, when the U.S. broke links and imposed a trade embargo with the Communist island, but the U.S. and Cuba agreed to normalize relations at the end of 2014. The country's two leaders held historic talks in April. Since 1977, the U.S. and Cuba have operated diplomatic missions called interest sections in each other's capitals under the legal protection of Switzerland. However, they do not enjoy the same status as full embassies. It is not still clear, you know, exactly what the date will be for opening the embassies, but it is likely to be in mid-July. It is the latest major milestone in a thawing process between the two countries' relations, which started with secret negotiations and was announced last December.
And what have we got from the world of sports tonight?
Right. Prime Minister Hwang Kyo-won of South Korea expressed hope today that an upcoming international multi-sport competition for university athletes, the Gwangju Summer Universiade, will demonstrate South Korea's crisis management skills following the MERS outbreak. The Gwangju is set to host the Universiade from July 3rd to the 14th, the first international event since South Korea was hit hard by the outbreak of Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. Still, South Korea said it wants to use the upcoming event as a chance to show the world that the virus is under control and public anxiety is not warranted. Hwang said as he toured stadiums and other facilities in Gwangju that the Universiade is an important occasion to show South Korea's crisis management skills. He also called for thorough preparations to ensure the safety of the event.
Very good. Jenny, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And you know exactly what I'm going to say.
Yes.
We'll see you back here in
24.
Thank you very much. That was If Today Was Your Last Day by Nickelback. And I would just like to say, in fact, my PD and I were talking about this during the break. Nickelback has become kind of a meme, and not in a good way either. If you get on the internet, you're going to see a lot of people kind of hating on Nickelback. I have not listened to a whole lot of Nickelback, but I've listened to a few of their songs, and I think they sound pretty good. I would also like to say this. I love all things Canadian. Nickelback is Canadian. Therefore, I must love Nickelback. I think I've covered it at this point. I met a lot of really great Canadians over my years here in Korea. Even took a trip to Canada when I was a kid. A church group trip, Pilgrim Fellowship, was a youth group that I used to belong to when I was going to church way back when, as a teenager. And we spent some time in Canada at family. We did homestays up there, and they were just – I had a fantastic time. The people were so friendly. The country is beautiful. I really can't find anything negative to say about Canada. A lot of good folks and a beautiful place. All right, on the quiz tonight, very quickly, once again, we're talking about a massive structure, very massive, very old, very long, and it was built to keep out the Mongols and the invading Hoers from the Chinese mainland, basically. What structure am I talking about? That's the question for you this evening. Number one is Mali Jiangsung. That is the Great Wall of China. Number two, Jiayue Yushinsang, or the Statue of Liberty. If you'd like to check in with us and you think you know the correct answer, we would certainly love to hear from you. You can send it to Kakao Talk. That is just by running a search, BEFM, or at sharp 9050, the sharp Gugong Ogong. Once again, let me remind you, only 100 won per text message. All right, we've got a really interesting interview coming up that I think you're going to want to listen to, so stick around. Everybody, welcome back to our Wednesday night special interview. You know, when thinking about Korea, a lot of people come up with images such as royal palaces, might be hanbok, other traditional outfits, could be kimchi, or of course, with the whole Korean wave thing going on, pop music as well. Well, a newly published book, however, covers wider aspects of Korea from a much broader perspective. This book, entitled Sketches of Korea, was published and written by Hongik University's professor Benjamin Chonau, who is from France and has been living in Korea for the past 20 years. We're going to meet him this evening. Hello, how are you?
Hello, good evening.
First, Professor, I would like to make sure that I did not butcher your name too badly. So if you would.
I did.
I knew I was going to do it. I was looking at it in Hangul. This is really kind of embarrassing. My last name is Chatelier, so I do have some French blood in me, but I guess it's Chatelier, but my French is really not up to snuff, so I apologize for that.
No, it's not important. I've been a long time in Korea, so my name is like, I don't know exactly what it is now, but in French it was Benjamin
Joanneau. Okay, all right.
Joanneau, yeah.
Thank you for straightening me out on that one. Professor, if you would, start off by introducing yourself to the listeners of Inside Out Busan.
Yes, I've been a long time in Korea. I've been a teacher. Now I'm a professor at Hongik University. I'm also a researcher. Mm-hmm. I'm specialized in Korean studies and especially cultural anthropology.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I understand. Well, first, let me ask this question. What brought you to Korea initially?
Well, I came by chance, like many people at that time. I was sent to Korea by the French government because of the French military service.
Mm-hmm.
So I came here to do a civilian service.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I also lived in Seoul many years ago. I was in Seoul basically pretty much from 1980 through 1997 before leaving the country for a while. And I met quite a few young French guys who were here apparently in lieu of going into the actual military, carrying out various types of tasks or duties here in Korea. So it's a very interesting system.
Exactly. Yes, yes. It was very good for sending abroad French young French people and make them develop special relationship with different countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, the military service disappeared, but we still have a volunteer service, which is a kind of follow-up of this old system. And I think it's very good. It brings a lot of young French people to Korea.
Mm-hmm. Now, Professor, what were your first impressions, I wonder, when you first arrived in Korea?
Well, I was young. It was a long time ago. And coming from France, I felt only difference and exoticism everywhere. So I think I was fascinated in a way.
Apparently, you fell in love with the country. How long did it take you to acclimate and really start feeling comfortable with life here in Korea?
I would say 10 years, maybe.
About 10 years.
I think so.
It does. It certainly takes a bit of time. Did you start off with some language studies when you first got here? Are you pretty comfortable speaking Korean?
Yes, I started quite early. I felt it was necessary. But it took me also a long time to master the language. I don't think that I'm mastering the language at all, even now, but I feel at ease with it now, yes.
It is really a tough language. I've got to tell you right now, I studied French for about 4 years, many years ago, as a student in America, but obviously not many places to use it where I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And I've studied Korean as well, and I found both of them very difficult. They were both very difficult languages for me.
For different reasons, yes.
Absolutely. All right. Let's hear about your book. I understand it covers a lot of area, about 47 subjects or so.
Yes, yes. It has 47 small chapters. Mm-hmm. It's a cultural guide about Korea. So actually each chapter is a theme, a cultural theme. So ranging from everyday life topics to old Joseon dynasty culture and different elements, music and sports. So that's why we have 47 chapters, but it's a small book.
Okay. What initially motivated you to write the book?
I think when we started the project, which was many years ago, I really felt a need in French or in English for this kind of book, because we started to have books about Korean culture, but they were mostly written by institutions and Koreans as well. And I think they were mostly here to promote Korea, or at least a certain idea of Korea. Mm-hmm. And I think it would have been interesting to have the point of view of a foreigner living in Korea and trying to introduce what is his own point of view on Korean culture. Mm-hmm. So I don't say it's more objective, but it's a different subjectivity, I would say. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the first motivation. It was the absence of this kind of book. Mm-hmm. Plus, we wanted, because it's a book I have written with my friend and co-author, Elodie Dornon, who is a French artist. Mm-hmm. We wanted to do also something for the general public, which is why we decided to do an illustrated guide. So Elodie drew the drawings and the illustrations, and I wrote the text.
Mm-hmm. There really was a dearth of these types of books when I first arrived in Korea. It was back in 1979, and at that point, the real Bible for many foreigners here in Korea was a book, I don't know if you're familiar with it, by a gentleman named Paul Crane. It was called Korean Patterns.
Yes, indeed. Not a new one. Yes.
Not a new one. But at that time, it was like it was the go-to book if you wanted to get some insight into the Korean psyche, into the Korean culture, and find out how to navigate. But I think the type of work you did with your book, it's really so needed by so many people. When you wrote this book or decided to write the book initially, who were you targeting? Let's say, what audience did you have in mind?
I think we had a very general audience, because the difference with the book you mentioned, which is a good book, is that we didn't want to do a kind of general introduction to Korean psyche or sociological patterns, because we wanted to do something more about the visual culture. Mm-hmm. Things you see when you arrive in a country, mm-hmm. and you don't know how to interpret them. You don't know what kind of signification to put on what you see. Mm-hmm. So it can be a gesture. It can be a way of eating. It can be a sculpture in a temple. Mm-hmm. So that was the idea. So it's really for the newcomers. And I think because there are so many topics which have been treated in the book, that I think that it could also help the students who study Korean language and culture, the beginners, and mm-hmm. even people who live here, like expatriates, because it's full of facts. So it's a kind of what we call a vademecum, this kind of small guidebook that you can have always in your bag, and that mm-hmm. I hope can be helpful in many different situations.
I see. When you first arrived here in Korea, I kind of alluded to that subject a few minutes back, how long it took you to acclimate and get used to living here in Korea. What were the main difficulties for you when you initially arrived here?
I think apart from the general difficulties of living in a different country with a different culture, mm-hmm. very different culture, mm-hmm. and also maybe a kind of non-foreigners friendly approach sometimes, not all the time. Mm-hmm. I think that the most difficult thing was to find the right information. Mm-hmm. Because people would tell you something about, let's say, a palace, and you would read something else. And then depending on the book you read, you would also have different versions. So finding the right approach to history, to art, to many, even to cultural, practices, mm-hmm. I think it was really difficult. So I guess that's why I started first to write a guidebook about Korea, because I wrote also in French, not a cultural, but more a travel guidebook. An extensive one in 1998. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I started that guidebook and why also I started to specialize in Korean studies, because I think I felt I had to look at, to look for this information by myself.
Mm-hmm. As a French person, I'm curious, and when you first started dealing with Koreans, when you first started working with Koreans, what were some of the more, on a personal level, the more difficult things for you to deal with? I mean, real, say, cultural clashes.
I would say the difference of communication patterns. Mm-hmm. The fact that we don't communicate at all the same way, that there is a lot of untold things in Korean way of communicating, especially at work, in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Especially being French, where we have this very strong culture of conversation, exchange, communication, chit-chat, you know, that we are very, I think, talkative, and we love the different, times when we can exchange ideas, etc. And I think in Korea we have a completely different cultural pattern for that. So many times I felt isolated or even alienated.
Yes. I totally understand that. Maybe even more so. I think that the French, at least in certain ways, obviously a bit more sophisticated than Americans. We generally communicate. We're about as subtle as a sledgehammer. For me, it was also very difficult when I first arrived in Korea, there was such a big gray area. Nothing's black and white in the way that they communicate with each other. And it was like, they're saying one thing, but kind of maybe meaning something else, and it was very, very difficult to to adapt to that. Now, obviously, 20 years of history in Korea now, you decided to stay on here to continue your studies and your writing.
Yes.
Bit of a personal question. Do you have a family here now?
Not really. I have friends and a lot of friends, but mm-hmm. I don't have a family.
All right. There's nothing wrong with that, believe me.
I've considered that
proposition a number of times myself. What is your favorite part of living here in Korea at this point?
Everything. I think my life is settled in Korea, so I think living here is comfortable for me, and I love the area where I live in Seoul, the house, everything is nice. I don't know. It's difficult to say because it's really now my second hometown, like mm-hmm. in Korean. So, it's difficult to objectivate this experience and answer these kind of questions. But I think I am comfortable, and everything now feels more natural.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to ask myself every day this kind of question anymore. And I think that's when you start to feel settled, then when you don't have to all the time speak about Korea and Koreans and Korean culture when you meet friends, that you don't even ask yourself about your environment on mm-hmm. everyday life. So I mm-hmm. think that's where I am now. I become more natural. And since I have, I think, a very busy but mm-hmm. a decent life in Korea, I like it, yes.
That is wonderful. Is this the last stop for you at some point in time? Have you sunk your roots permanently into Korean soil?
Yes, at least I think in a very affective way. Even if I have to go away, I will always be somehow in Korea or with Korea, I guess, because it's a part of my personality and life now.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
yes. Yeah, in the past, I used to portray myself as a kind of nomadic person because I was living far from France.
Mm-hmm.
But after 20 years here, I realized that I'm a very sedentary person and that I think I'm not made for this, I need roots, I guess.
Yes. You start moving around is fun, I think, when you're a bit young. I certainly enjoyed it, but It is nice sinking those roots and settling in somewhere. Have you ever been down to, I would imagine in at some point or many, many points over the 20 years that you've been down here to Busan?
Of course, I've been many times. I really like Busan.
Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of Busan. I've got to tell you, I lived in Gyeonggi-do for 2 years. I was in Seoul mm-hmm. for about 16 years, and I've lived here for about five. I absolutely love it down here. Every time I have an interview with someone or I'm talking with someone, I'm constantly trying to convince them, move down to Busan. It's much nicer down here. I mean, I love it. Have you ever considered maybe living outside of Seoul, maybe in another part of the country?
I did. I used to have for 9 years a countryside house in the Gyeonggi-do province, mm-hmm. and I used to go there every weekend, and I really love the countryside, mm-hmm. everything, the rhythm, the nature, and the people. So I considered it, but I think it's too early in my life, and I'm too busy in Seoul.
Too busy.
Yes, if I had to move, I think I would consider a place like Busan. Especially, I'm from Bordeaux originally, which is, you know, a harbor, uh-huh. and it's in front of the ocean like Busan. So I feel something very close to me in this city.
Very nice. This could be the spot for you. We'll be waiting to see you down here. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us tonight. Are there any last comments that you have for us?
I just would like the people who have the chance to read my book, our book, to find some help in understanding Korea and maybe like a little key to this Korean culture and the difference. So maybe a way to accept this this cultural difference. And I think that's how I hope that would work this way.
Very nice. We will encourage that. If we can, I'll ask my PD try to put a little plug up on the website for you so that people will have the chance to check the title and hopefully take a look at it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right.
For inviting me tonight.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello, listeners. This is Alex. Now you. Hello, listeners. This is Alex from Class Quiet. Now you're listening to Inside Out Busan with your evening buddy, Alex. Hello, listeners. This is Alex from Class Quiet. Now you're listening to Inside Out Busan with your evening buddy, Tim. 행복하세요.
For Mending Moment once again. You know, sometimes you might feel maybe estranged from a family member, alienated from other people. You might even feel like you're strange and don't really fit in anywhere or with anyone. You feel like there is no one like you. Well, Mexican painter Frida Kahlo had this to say. I used to think I was the strangest person in the world, but then I thought there are so many people in the world, there must be someone just like me who feels bizarre and flawed in the same ways I do. I would imagine her and imagine that she must be out there thinking of me too. Well, I hope that if you are out there and read this and know that, yes, it's true. I'm here, and I'm just as strange as you. Hey, we are back. That lovely tune, Like a Star by Corrine Bailey Rae. We're going to be wrapping up the show fairly quickly here. Got a couple minutes. Amy checked in with us on Kakao Talk again, said, Tim, do you wear an ice jacket? I know it's a little heavy, and most workers wear in their factory. Amy, that's exactly correct. A few summers ago when I first got to Busan, the summertime, it was my first summer not Korea, but my first summer in Busan, and it was just so humid and so sticky, and I was so miserable. I mean, I just have a really 처음 이렇게 열이 좀 많은 사람이거든요. I'm kind of like heated up. I'm always hot, and in the summertime, man, it's really tough for me. I'm just dripping constantly, overheated. So I decided I needed to do something. A little hand fan was not doing it for me. So eventually, I got on the internet and I ran a search, and I came across a thing on a Korean website that said Autumn Jokey, an ice fest, and I thought, wow, this is really cool. I went to the website, and indeed, it was mostly factory workers, apparently, who used these. You don't see a lot of people in public walking around with an ice vest on, but they had a really nice black mesh one with about 4 or 5 pockets. I ordered it, and it was fantastic. You simply freeze the ice packs, and before you go out, you put them into your pockets, and it just keeps you really cool. But it looks kind of it's not very fashionable. I've got to say that looks a little strange. Kind of really makes your body, you know, I'm already kind of a big guy, and it makes me look that much bigger. My wife had mixed feelings about it, but man, it was really refreshing and kept me really cool. So I'm going to get one. I'm going to get another one. Amy, thank you very much for being with us this evening. Everybody out there tonight who checked in with us, gracias. Thank you for being on the show tonight. Also, a call out to Professor Jonow. I think I probably butchered the name again. Thank you very much. A great interview and very interesting gentleman. All right, folks, we're going to play another song for you to wrap up tonight. Answer, of course, was Molly Johnson, in case you were wondering. And our last tune of the evening is The Power of the Dream by Celine Dion, another Canadian. Happy Canada Day. Good night. Hey, we are back. That lovely tune, Like a Star by Corrine Bailey Rae. We're going to be wrapping up the show fairly quickly here. Got a couple minutes. Amy checked in with us on Kakao Talk again, said, Tim, do you wear an ice jacket? I know it's a little heavy, and most workers wear in their factory. Amy, that's exactly correct. A few summers ago when I first got to Busan, the summertime, it was my first summer not Korea, but my first summer in Busan, and it was just so humid and so sticky, and I was so miserable. I mean, I just have a really 처음 이렇게 열이 좀 많은 사람이거든요. I'm kind of like heated up. I'm always hot. And in the summertime, man, it's really tough for me. I'm just dripping constantly, overheated. So I decided I needed to do something. A little hand fan was not doing it for me. So eventually I got on the internet and I ran a search, and I came across a thing on a Korean website that said Autumn Jokey, an ice fest, and I thought, wow, this is really cool. I went to the website, and indeed, it was mostly factory workers, apparently, who used these. You don't see a lot of people in public walking around with an ice vest on, but they had a really nice black mesh one with about 4 or 5 pockets. I ordered it, and it was fantastic. You simply freeze the ice packs, and before you go out, you put them into your pockets, and it just keeps you really cool. But it looks kind of it's not very fashionable. I've got to say that looks a little strange. Kind of really makes your body, you know, I'm already kind of a big guy, and it makes me look that much bigger. My wife had mixed feelings about it, but man, it was really refreshing and kept me really cool. So I'm going to get one. I'm going to get another one. Amy, thank you very much for being with us this evening. Everybody out there tonight who checked in with us, gracias. Thank you for being on the show tonight. Also, a call out to Professor Jonow. I think I probably butchered the name again. Thank you very much. A great interview and very interesting gentleman. All right, folks, we're going to play another song for you to wrap up tonight. Answer, of course, was Molly Johnson, in case you were wondering. And our last tune of the evening is The Power of the Dream by Celine Dion, another Canadian. Happy Canada Day. Good night. That lights the fire of our imagination.